Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
On a tiny speck, suspended amid the great black abyss of space, exists everything we have ever known, and possibly will ever know. Every person that has ever existed, every thought that has ever been thought, every love affair, every war, every lie, every kiss, every piece of music that has ever been written, and every glimmer of a future not yet realized, all of it. That tiny speck is, of course, Earth, home to us and everything that makes us us. But it's estimated there are roughly 10,000 stars in the universe for every grain of sand found on our planet, itself only one of over a billion planets in our galaxy. That galaxy, the Milky Way, is one of 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, an incomprehensibly vast space, 93 billion light years from end to end. The rest of the universe that we can't yet see could be anything from 150 to 250 billion trillion times bigger. In 1981, Alan Guth of Stanford University proposed the theory of cosmic inflation, the idea that the nascent universe passed through a phase of exponential expansion and has been continually expanding ever since. Is the universe vast but finite with opposite ends, or is it something else? Some as yet unquantifiable, non-Euclidean space with wraparound properties like a game of Pac-Man, where travelling so far in one direction eventually brings you back to where you started? Or is the entire universe as we know it just the inside of a black hole, existing inside a whole other universe, or inside an infinite number of other possible universes for that matter? Is the universe itself infinite in space, never-ending no matter what direction we travel through it, be that spatially or temporally? We simply don't know. But from astronomers to philosophers to stargazing stoners, all of us grapple with this dizzying conundrum. Either way, for most people, far more than wanting to know what shape our universe actually takes, what we really want to know is, are we alone in it? You're listening to Unexplained, and I'm Richard McLean Smith. It's the 27th of October, 1954. The early autumnal sun is sweet and crisp where it turns the Tuscan streets gold. Shouts of laughter and good-natured talk fill the streets of Florence, Italy, as crowds of people head towards the Stadio Comunale, later to be known as the Stadio Artemio Franchi. Tens of thousands of fans turn out in their droves to watch a highly anticipated local derby, a match between home team Fiorentina and their rivals Pistoiese. There's much excitement from even the Pistoiese fans at the sight of Ardico Magnini, defender, local legend, and World Cup star of the summer, as he runs out onto the pitch. He would become famous in 1956 for a photograph depicting him flying through the air and appearing to roundhouse kick a ball, his mouth open in a defiant shout. But for now, he is taking it easy. It's a friendly match, and the atmosphere is jovial. The first half is much like any football match, people drinking and cheering and swearing animatedly at the ref whenever the moment called for it. Half-time arrives, and the teams huddle together in intense conversation, patting each other on the back. 15 minutes later, the crowd roared as one as the players fanned out onto the pitch again. It was about 2:20, barely a few minutes into the second half, when a sudden eerie silence fell across the whole stadium, like someone had suddenly turned down the volume on a radio. From the middle of the pitch, Ardico Magnini looked up at the crowd, who, as though the radio had been suddenly cranked on again, let out a deafening roar and pointed to the sky. Magnini followed the many outstretched arms to where they were pointing, and his eyes grew wide in astonishment. Up above him, a large, silver, egg-like shape was moving, slowly, 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 as Magnini would later describe it, right over the stadium. All the players stopped to marvel at the bizarre sight. Moments later, there was a bright sparkling in the air underneath the object, as a strange silver glitter began to fall from the sky. In the aftermath of the peculiar event at the football match, the silver glitter would remain a common denominator in the many accounts of the event given by numerous spectators. Some described it as being like silvery filaments descending from the heavens, while others noted how the sky itself seemed to shimmer and glow with random flashes of light. Roberto Pinotti, the president of Italy's National UFO Center, recalled the light, sticky substance falling from above. In English, they call this angel hair, he said. The only problem was after a short period of time, it disintegrated. But I remember, in broad daylight, seeing the roofs of the houses in Florence covered in this white substance for 1 hour, and like snow, it just evaporated. Gigi Boni, a lifelong Fiorentina fan, remembered many objects in the sky that day, describing them as being silver and shaped like Cuban cigars and moving unusually fast, then stopped over the pitch before dropping the shimmering silver rain. In the official match record, it stated that the match was suspended due to something in the sky. Others, including another player, Romolo Tucci, reported seeing multiple smaller crafts. In those years, he said, everybody was talking UFOs, and we had the experience. We saw them directly, for real. Tucci was not wrong. In those years, the 1950s, everyone really was talking about aliens, as the governments of the US and the Soviet Union invested increasingly heavily in space exploration in an effort to prove to the world who was the true superpower. Talk of space probes and satellites quickly entered the mainstream. In October 1951, the Soviet engineer Mikhail Tikhonov published an article titled Flight to the Moon. In it, he described in evocative detail the hypothetical spaceships of the future, laid out the science needed to create them, and ended his article with what, to many imaginative, impressionable minds, must have read as a call to arms. We do not have long to wait, we can assume that the bold dream will be realized within the next 10 to 15 years. Not to be outdone, over the next 3 years, the United States Collier's magazine responded with a series of 7 articles titled "Man Will Conquer Space Soon." Then, in 1955, Disney screened an animated episode of their television series, Disneyland, titled Man in Space. It reached an audience of 40 million people and was even nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short. The space race had not yet begun, but the competitors were well and truly at the start line, limbering up and poised for the starting pistol. It's no wonder then that UFO sightings during the early 1950s skyrocketed, with reports soon numbering in their thousands across the world. For the people of Italy, it was factory worker Bruno Facchini who was perhaps more responsible than anyone for kicking off that country's own wave of bizarre aerial sightings that would eventually peak in 1954 on that strange summer afternoon in Florence.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
It was the evening of April 24th, 1950, a little after 10 p.m., on the outskirts of the city of Trodate, just north of Milan. All day long, the city had been shrouded by thick dark clouds and pummeled with rain. Having waited for the latest downpour to stop, Facchini stepped hurriedly from his back door, leaving his wife and young son inside as he made a dash for their outdoor toilet, located at the back of the garden. After relieving himself, Facchini stepped outside and lit a cigarette, savouring the musty smell of wet grass and warm rain on concrete as he made his way back down the garden path toward the house. It was then that he noticed the strange flashes of light in the dark sky above. Naturally, at first, he thought it was simply lightning, but the storm clouds had since moved off, and in any case, when he looked again, he saw the light was in fact coming from a field opposite his house. So Facchini went to investigate. As he made his way over, the lights continued to flash. He began to wonder if maybe it was the electrical spark of a broken power line, damaged by the storm. But as he drew nearer, the flashing light suddenly stopped. He stood for a moment in the silence and scanned the field ahead, but saw nothing unusual. Perhaps it was just light reflecting off some glass, he thought, feeling a little stupid. He felt cold suddenly and pulled his light jacket a little tighter together. Turning back to his house, he was just about to set off for home when he sensed the light flashing again from out of the corner of his eye. And sure enough, there it was, just where he'd seen it before. Once again, he set off toward it, convinced it probably was a faulty power line. He was just thinking about calling it in to the police when he froze suddenly. There, about 200 yards ahead of him, as if it had just suddenly materialized then and there, was what he later described as a huge, dark shape, like a ball, but with a flattened top. He judged the object to be about 30 feet high and 20 feet across, and as he drew closer, he saw it was illuminated by an unearthly greenish glow. And then he saw ladders stretching down from the underside of it, and at the bottom of one of them, a man, or at least he thought it was a man. The human-like figure was wearing some kind of thick suit and a large bulbous helmet with a black sheeny visor down over the eyes. Though Fakini didn't quite know how to describe it at the time, he would later compare it to the suits worn by the Apollo astronauts of the 1960s, more than a decade later. As flashes of light continued to come from the direction of the object, Bruno Fakini figured the man in the suit was welding something, perhaps carrying out repairs of some kind. Then a secondary glow emerged from the peculiar craft, this time coming from inside it, shining out of some kind of hatch. Once the light subsided, Fakini claimed he was briefly able to glimpse inside the craft, where he apparently saw another ladder leading to a higher level, as well as an odd array of items that he described as being like bottles connected together in rows, with gauges and tubes between them. Stepping in for a closer look, he then claimed he could see two other figures moving clumsily around inside. Years later, Fakini would again reference the Apollo astronauts to describe the manner in which the figures moved, languid and heavy, as if floating in space. He continued staring on as the figures apparently passed pipe-like objects between them and occasionally sent more metallic sparks shooting out all around them. Steadily, he noticed more and more strange things. What he was seeing was like a Polaroid picture slowly emerging in front of him. He saw dials and cylinders along the interior walls and heard a distinct and constant buzzing sound, reminiscent of a swarm of bees. And all about him, the air grew strangely warmer. Fakini wondered if the men were from the military, operating a brand new state-of-the-art aircraft, and had been forced to make an emergency landing due to the storm. It was only then that he realized the men were speaking, but not in any language that he had ever heard before. The bizarre, guttural utterances they were apparently making caused him to realize the men weren't men at all, at least not of the human kind. Just then, one of the figures on board the craft gestured in his direction. Fear sliced through him. He stumbled backwards, suddenly realizing just how exposed he was out there, and with that, he turned and ran. sprinting for his house across the field, Fakini saw in his peripheral vision one of the figures point something in his direction. A sudden bright beam of light blinded him, and a burning pain split him in two. He felt as though he'd been cut in half across his torso. Looking down, he saw, much to his relief, that his body was still intact, but he could no longer move. Then he collapsed heavily to the ground. In the grip of utter panic, Fakini claimed to have then watched the figures, convinced they would chase after him, only for them to continue doing what they were doing, as though they had merely meant to keep him away. Fakini watched wide-eyed, trying to keep his face out of the dirt, as the figures finished up and returned inside the craft. Then the greenish light that had been emanating from the vessel throughout began to dim as the hatch door was slowly closed. A moment later, with only the half-light of night, Fakini watched on as that peculiar buzzing sound grew louder in intensity until he heard a great whoosh and felt the rush of the aircraft as it shot into the sky and disappeared. Bruno Fakini claimed to have remained on the ground for some time until he felt it was safe enough to return home. After a sleepless night, the next morning he returned to the site. There, he noticed four distinct circular impressions and noted that the grass had considerable burn markings. Pieces of scrap and melted metal littered the ground, all confirming to him that whatever he had seen had genuinely happened. At least, that's what he reported to the police. Despite their skepticism, some officers were sent out to investigate the site and collected pieces of the strange metal for analysis. The results were mostly inconclusive, but did conclude the fragments were comprised of some kind of heat-resistant and anti-friction material. They also stated that the metal would, quote, be ideal in spaceflight to face the burn-up as a craft entered the Earth's atmosphere. A secondary examination found that the metal was comprised of mostly bronze, with traces of lead. Fakini later said that a few days after his apparent encounter, he was struck down with excruciating back pain. When he turned to get a look at his back in the mirror, he found there a huge black mark, darker than any bruise he'd ever had, stretched across the entirety of it.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, Head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
By the October of 1954, UFO sightings were being reported throughout Europe in unprecedented numbers. In September 1954, in Nord, just south of Lille in northern France, train station guard Marius de Wild contacted local police with an incredible story of his own. It was around 10:30 p.m. on the night of September 10th, as de Wild was preparing for bed, that his dog began barking manically. Believing that something outside was distressing her, he grabbed a torch and promptly headed out to investigate. In the silence of the evening, he walked a few steps along the rail tracks when a sudden noise caused him to spin around. There, caught in the beam of his flashlight, as he later told police, were two humanoid figures, each no more than a meter in height, standing beside some kind of craft. When he pointed the light at their heads, it apparently reflected bright and silver, as if the figures were wearing mirrored helmets. Not unlike Facchini's experience, de Wild is then said to have suddenly found himself in the grip of an immobilizing beam of light. Unable to move, he simply watched as the figures then stepped into the craft. Moments later, it shot off into the sky, rippling with effervescent color as it went. Officers dispatched to investigate first interviewed de Wild's wife and neighbor to see if they could corroborate his story, but neither had seen anything. Unimpressed, the officers nonetheless agreed to follow de Wild out to the spot where he'd apparently seen the strange craft. When they got there, they found a 6-meter depression in the ground. De Wild then cried out suddenly and bent over, seemingly in the grip of an intense pain. In that moment, the torch he'd been carrying in his hand seemed also to suddenly stop working. In one report, it was said that 3 days later, de Wilder's dog died, while de Wilder developed respiratory problems that he couldn't shake. 3 cows were later found dead in a neighboring field, all apparently completely drained of blood. After de Wild's apparent inexplicable encounter, a number of similar sightings were reported throughout France over the next few weeks. From Brie to Bergerac and Clermont-Ferrand came bizarre tales of floating crafts, strange lights, and the sudden onset of paralysis inflicting those who reported the sightings. On October 11th, 1954, Henri Gaulois and Louis Vigneron were driving together in Assier in the south of France when they suddenly felt as though they'd been struck by something, sending an electric shock through their bodies. Both expected the car to spin wildly out of control, but instead, it came to a swift halt, as though someone had simply switched it off. As the pair remained paralyzed, the men claimed they then spotted what appeared to be some kind of machine-like object in the distance, being approached by three strange creatures. The creatures then disappeared inside the object, and moments later it rose into the air, gained rapid speed, and vanished. With the peculiar craft gone, the car came back to life, and their movement returned. 2 nights later, a near identical event is said to have happened to a Dr. Henri Robert in Balliolet, 700 kilometers to the north. Whether it's the rumor that a UFO followed the flight path of a plane from New York to London in June of 1954, or it's the sighting of a strange green ball over Madagascar in August of 1954, that year certainly seemed to be a hotbed of apparent UFO-related incidents. It was even said that an unscheduled dentist trip for America's President Eisenhower in February of 1954 was in fact a meeting with multiple alien species. Despite the flurry of supposed UFO sightings in 1954, not everyone was so easily persuaded that something truly otherworldly was taking place. Scientists suggested that many of the UFO sightings in Italy and France of that year were caused by temperature inversions, which occur when a layer of hot air moves over a layer of cool air, which can bend light rays so that it seems an object on the ground is in fact hovering somewhere above in the sky. Others advised that the silver glitter, or angel hair, as seen at the Italian football match, was likely due to migrating spiders who send long, whitish strands of their silk into the air to travel by wind. Roberto Pinotti, the president of Italy's National UFO Center, disagreed, however, stating that the migrating spiders theory is an old and stupid hypothesis. According to Pinotti, the chemical analysis of the angel hair samples was nothing like spider silk, which is a protein, an organic compound containing nitrogen, calcium, hydrogen, and oxygen. On the day the apparent UFOs stopped his team's football match, Giorgio Battini, a journalist at the Florentine newspaper La Nazione, gathered several samples of the angel hair and took them to the Institute of Chemical Analysis at the University of Florence. After thorough testing, the lab concluded it actually contained the elements boron, silicon, calcium, and magnesium. Not radioactive, but not spider silk either. In fact, not like anything they'd ever seen before. Sadly, the samples were destroyed by the testing process, and their true provenance remains a mystery to this day. This episode was written by Ella McLeod and Richard McLean Smith. Unexplained is an AV Club Productions podcast created by Richard McLean Smith. All other elements of the podcast, including the music, are also produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Unexplained, the book and audiobook, with stories never before featured on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, and other bookstores. Please subscribe to and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can find out more at unexplainedpodcast.com and reach us online through Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.